Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you for joining us for Hour 2 of Catholic Answers Live. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and our topic this hour is anger and emotions. Does your anger get the best of you? Or maybe someone else's anger is damaging your relationships or family life. What about God's anger in the Bible? In fact, what does God expect us to do with strong emotions? 888-318-7884 is the number if you have those questions or any others having to do with the emotion of anger or any strong emotion. 888-318-7884. Call us, please, with your questions. Our guest this hour, clinical psychologist, Dr. Ray Guarendi, a father of 10. He's a much admired and in-demand speaker, author, and radio host. His radio show, The Doctor Is In, can be heard weekdays on a whole boatload of stations across the country. His books include You're a Better Parent Than You Think and Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. But I suspect the book we will be referring to the most today is Fighting Mad, Practical Solutions for Conquering Anger. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you, Cy. I appreciate it.
You have a lot of fun on the radio, I notice.
That's only when the teleprompter breaks down. Teleprompter breaks down, I freewheel.
Now, off that, but that happens every day. At least if that's the standard, you have a terrible teleprompter.
I can't control those callers. You know, I never know what they're going to say. I told them, I said, look, I wrote out the stuff for you. Just say what I wrote. But they don't. They go off on their own tangent.
Well, it's a free-for-all here that we don't have a script for the callers. In reading Fighting Mad, Practical Solutions for Conquering Anger, here's a sentence. It kind of just jumped out at me. The key to using anger for benefit and not detriment is to moderate it by the will. And I have to say that struck me as both a very practical sentence and a very Catholic sentence. Can you kind of unpack that for us a little bit?
People use anger to move themselves. Ah. Example, let's take it in the parenting realm. A parent says, well, I have to get mad. And then he knows I mean it. All right?
Right.
You wouldn't want him to get to the point where they're maniac mad. All right? Unfortunately, a lot of parents have to have a bit of a nudge of that emotion before they take action. Now, if they can control that, if they can recognize, all right, I have to move on this, even though I feel guilty, even though I'm afraid he won't like me, even though I have to get off my couch, even though I've done it 4 times already today, there's a part of me that is emotional and it's making me move. That's kind of what I mean. I lift weights, Cy, and I will go into the weight room and sometimes have a very terrible first set. The reps are much lower than my normal. The second set, I do better. You shouldn't do that. Almost always when you lift weights, your first set is your strongest set. Your second set is 2, 3, 4 reps less. How is it that I actually do better on the second set? Anger. Not kicking weights anger, not cursing anger,
right,
but just a determination kind of anger. And I think it can work for your benefit.
But won't people say to you, well, if I try to moderate my anger or apply my will to it, you know, to say, you know, make a choice about my anger, well, it's just going to come out somewhere else. I gotta get this out. I got to vent or whatever the words might be.
You have just touched upon, Cy, one of the great myths of anger control. This has its roots way back in old psychological theory, which said, you gotta have catharsis. You gotta get it out of you. If you keep it in, you're gonna have all kinds of stress-related diseases. The research on this, Cy, basically says, when you vent, when you let your anger loose, too easily and too often. Do you know what the ultimate outcome is?
No.
You get angrier quicker and more often.
You're developing a habit.
Yes, you train yourself to get angry. Now, the comeback to this is, well, wait a minute. What are you going to do? You're going to grit your teeth? You're going to clench your fists? You're going to have smoke coming out of your ears? No. What you're going to do is, at least in the initial surge, when you want to say something terrible, and you know you're going to regret it, when you want to punch the wall, when you want to throw something, that initial surge doesn't last very long. 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. I used to play a lot of sports. And basketball is a sport that really promotes anger. Because you got five bodies on each team bouncing against each other in close proximity. Somebody throws an elbow. Somebody pushes. Somebody butts you. Somebody does something really wrong. Your first response for the beginning 5 seconds, maybe, push back, throw the elbow back, say something. I learned when I played that if I could stop myself, if I didn't vent for the first 5 to 10 seconds, the urge to do something nasty, ugly, which I'll feel guilty and sad about later, dropped dramatically. So that's the first part of venting. The second part of venting is when people say this, Cy, I tell it like it is.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about how I look at things in the real world. And I always say to them, do you tell it like it is, or do you tell it like you think it is? Most people will say to me, don't you have to let people know how you feel? Don't you have to get it off your chest? Well, it kind of depends how you do it. I have never seen a rant actually make someone say, gosh, I didn't know you felt that strongly. Those are good points. Thanks for pointing them out to me. I feel much more close to you now. I've never heard that happen. No. No, it doesn't happen that way. Venting, by and large, is not a good thing.
Yeah, I think I have more than 20 years of marriage that have taught me that now. But it actually took me a while to learn it. I confessed to you, Dr. Ray.
You big dummy.
Yeah, was I a big dummy, right? And I finally realized, you know, the more I express things with anger, the less my wife is actually listening to me, because her thing is, you know, you get, when you're done, we'll have a conversation. And so
you lose credibility.
Right. I started to just decide to be done sooner. Stop. You're done now. Have a conversation. 888-318-7884 is our number. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest today on Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray is the author, among many books, of Fighting Mad, Practical Solutions for Conquering Anger. Any question you've got on the emotional life, specifically if it's on the emotion of anger, Dr. Ray is ready and prepared to take your questions, offer advice, help work through things. 888-318-7884 is that number. But what about the other person, Dr. Ray, the person who doesn't rage but is afraid of anger, is afraid maybe the world is going to break if I'm angry?
There's a different side between righteous anger and right-filled anger. Righteous anger is where a person has an emotional reaction, a strong thought-based emotional reaction towards a wrong being done to someone or to God. Right-filled anger is, how dare you get angry at me? How dare you say those things about me? Oh. Right-filled anger is personalization. You have no right to say or act that way toward me. Now, much of the time, maybe the person does have a right. Their style might be ugly, but they may have a right. However, here's the critical thing. When we get offended by somebody else's emotional outburst, we're basically taking it personally. You're mistreating me. Therefore, I'm going to be very upset. because you have no right to act that way toward me, especially if I didn't do anything wrong in my eyes. Okay? So a huge difference between righteous anger, Jesus knocking over the tables of the money changers, and right-filled anger, which is, I can't believe that guy cut me off. Do you believe that? That guy cut me off. What the heck? I'm going to follow him. See how close I can get to his bumper butt.
Yes.
We take it personal.
Yeah.
We do. Our Lord says don't do that, by the way.
Wives are very helpful in that regard.
do you remember when our Lord said, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, no, let's see, what cheek would it be? It'd be the right cheek. Give him your left as well.
Yes, yes.
Well, some people interpret that to mean be a pacifist. Don't respond with violence. However, there was a custom, if you want to call it that, in those times where if somebody backhanded you across your face, most people are right-handed. So if they backhanded you, it hit you on the right cheek, okay? That was the ultimate insult. Raka, you're a fool. You're useless. You're worthless, okay? So when our Lord said, well, give him your other cheek as well, what he was basically saying is you're telling him what you are saying and doing to me is not going to devalue me. It's not going to make me worthless, no matter what you think. So I think that's a very powerful demonstration of our Lord saying, people will act badly towards you, but you don't have to swallow it and take it personally.
Yes, indeed. 888-318-7884 is the number here at Catholic Answers Live. Our guest today, Dr. Ray Guarendi. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, your calls for Dr. Ray on the question of anger and other strong emotions. We'll be right back.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, everyone. This is Carlo Broussard. I've got a challenge for you. It's called the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. And we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchase and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase, going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be a part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teens spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am your host, Cy Kellett, having the great pleasure of conversation with Dr. Ray Guarendi. The Doctor Is In is his program, heard all across these United States, and I imagine probably all across the world via various media. Dr. Ray is a trained psychotherapist and is happy to help with any question you have. But I was wondering, Dr. Ray, as we're at the break, I framed it as anger and strong emotions. Now, is anger always defined as an emotion, or is there some other way we should think of anger?
No, it's not. Anger at base, much of the time, is a thought. It is how you perceive. It is how you interpret. You know, on the break, we were talking about cognitive behavioral therapy. Basically, what cognitive behavioral therapy does is it looks at, it explores what you are telling yourself in your head about a person, about their behavior, about a situation, about the meaning of circumstances. And that thought can do a lot to dramatically lessen or exaggerate the emotion. Let me give you a quick example.
Okay.
Picture the scenario, Cy. You're at a bus stop. It's one of those three-sided shelters. Very crowded. It is sleeting. It's pouring in on you, and it's blowing sideways. You're toward the back, and you feel a stabbing pain in your Achilles. Somebody, in your mind, has the point of an umbrella and is just screwing around. They're deliberately being thoughtless. They're not even noticing that their umbrella is poking you, and it's starting to hurt in the bottom of your leg. Okay, stop the tape. If I say to you, Cy, why are you so angry? You'd say, because some jamoke is back there jabbing me with an umbrella, right?
Yes, right.
Okay, you've had enough. You turn around, you see a little old lady who is blind, who is being disoriented by the push of the bodies, trying to keep her balance with her cane. Did you have to say to yourself, it's a good thing you're blind, lady, or you'd have gotten a piece of my mind? What happened to your anger?
I think it just evaporated immediately.
Immediately. Why? Because your thought changed. Your perception of the situation changed. Now, that's a dramatic example, but it does show you the power of interpretation. You were still getting poked in the heel. You told me you were angry because you were getting poked in the heel. That's not why you were angry. You were angry because you were saying to yourself, somebody is thoughtless and hurting my heel.
Right.
Deliberately. That's what was causing the anger.
So if you can address the thinking, it's not just an emotion that overwhelms you. You can, in fact, challenge your own thinking.
If my mother-in-law comes in the house and she makes some snarky remark about my parenting, okay?
Yes.
And I spend the next 4 hours after she leaves rehearsing her snarky remark, rehearsing how wretched her personality is to deal with. Yeah, I'm going to keep myself pretty angry.
Yeah.
But if I would say to myself and actually believe it, if I would say, well, I've been married 20 years. I know what she's like. My wife has tried to tell me what she's like. She's a very insecure lady who has to make snarky remarks to make herself feel good. Okay, that's who she is. I'm not going to take her snarky remark to heart. Well, I may still feel bad, but I probably won't feel miserable for the next 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. 888-318-7884 is the number if you'd like to talk to Dr. Ray about anger and emotions. We go now to Tina in Charleston, South Carolina, listening on 102.9 FM. Tina, you are on with Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for your show. I listen to Catholic radio quite often, and I always get a lot out of it.
Well, thank
you. So, Dr. Ray, what happens when several people in my family will say to me after some pretty intense things, like, for example, 2.5 years ago, my sister passed away from cancer, and her husband just got so angry at me, and that went on for about 2 years, and I have noticed finally in the past 6 months that some of it sort of dissipated. But about the same time his anger was dissipating, another family member who I've been very close to, and we've gone through all kinds of family issues, mostly where I was just being supportive and sort of standing by, it's my sister-in-law, and now she says,
there you go.
I'm so
there you go, Tina. You just said it. Tina, you just said it. Instead of being supportive, she basically went on the attack. What you're saying is, I expected them to understand with my sister and now with this new circumstance. I expected them to at least see my side, or to see I wasn't trying to do anything evil or bad or wrong, and they didn't. And not only did they not, but they went on the offensive. They shouldn't do that. That's what's creating your anger. If you change the way you look at it and you say, did I do anything wrong? No. As I assess it, I didn't do anything wrong. This is their opinion. This is, for whatever the reason, their critique, and I do not have to absorb it. But see, you want them to be different. You want them to understand and respect you and to see that what you did was good and faithful and kind, and they're not. Tina, you got to understand something. Anybody at any time can say anything that puts you down. All you have to worry about, is it legitimate? You still may not like them saying that stuff. I'm not saying you have to go, oh, goody, goody. But what I am saying is, it won't destroy you like it does.
Tina?
Thinking 101. Thanks, Tina.
Thank you so much for that call. Tina, 888-318-7884 is the number if you would like to talk with Dr. Ray Guarendi about anger. We'll go to Luann in Des Moines, Iowa, listening on 1150 AM. Luann, you are on with Dr. Ray.
Thank you very much. Do I need to repeat the question?
Yes, please.
I am a retired teacher, but yet a private teacher and nanny. And I have been with the children since they were born. I have an 8-year-old boy that has always been a honey. So is it just because he's turned 8, or when he does not want to do things, he will not, he shuts his ears, stiffens up, grits his teeth, and there is no getting to him. Now, he will cool off. But
two things, Luann. First of all, most parents who say a child is an angry child, he's an angry child, that's really not accurate. What they mean is what you're saying, which is he gets frustrated when he doesn't get his way. That's the first thing. So what you're witnessing is a kid who probably doesn't like it when you ask him to do something he doesn't want to do, or you ask him to stop doing something he wants to do. Then when you said, I can't get through to him, that's true because you're trying to reason with him. When you reason with somebody in an emotional state, pretty much forget it, okay? I think you need to talk to the parents and say, when he is uncooperative, what am I permitted to do in the way of discipline? Am I permitted to assign him 20 sentences? I will cooperate when I'm asked. Am I permitted to stand him in the corner? What am I permitted to do? Because once he knows that all you really can do is try to reason with him, Luann, it's only going to get rougher.
And he does the same thing with kind of mother's the only one that really deals with it. And she works at home a lot. And today he did this, and she told him to do something and kind of started screaming and said,
Luann, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live.
Paul said, "If Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain." Can you defend the resurrection? Order Trent Horn's DVD, Why Believe in Jesus, today at Catholic.com.
We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. Jimmy Akin is here to help. His innovative new book, A Daily Defense, takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm excited beyond words at the latest release in our Catholic Answers Classic series, The Faith of Our Fathers by James Cardinal Gibbons, a book that was instrumental in my own journey to the Catholic Church. When it comes to books specifically aimed at our separated brethren who name the name of Jesus Christ, Faith of Our Fathers is simply unequaled as a work of apologetics. The breadth and the scope of this book is astonishing. In one volume, Cardinal Gibbons moves from the Trinity, the four marks of the Church, the papacy, and the communion of saints, to the Marian doctrine, salvation, purgatory, and the seven sacraments, to the Inquisition, the Crusades, the celibacy of the clergy, the priesthood, and more. Do yourself or a friend a favor. Get your hand on this book right now. You can do that by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi, author of Fighting Mad, Practical Solutions for Conquering Anger, is with us this hour. Do you have questions or need advice about anger or other strong emotions? Give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. We've got lots of callers on the line, so we'll go straight to Christine, listening in Buffalo, New York, on the Station of the Cross, 101.7 FM. Christine, you are on with Dr. Ray. Your question, please.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. My question is about resentment. So I know it's not necessarily really strong, but it can cause an outburst. So I was wondering if Dr. Ray, if you would talk a little bit about resentment and how to deal with situations that are necessary in our lives that we have to deal with that cause ongoing anger underneath, you know, the level of that people can see. So.
Christine, resentment is a buildup. It's a buildup of I'm not being treated with respect. I'm not being valued. I'm being treated thoughtlessly. This shouldn't be happening. I should have a better marriage. I should have a nicer husband. I should have a kinder mother. And so the resentment builds. It's one thing to say, I really do not like being treated this way, whatever way it is. Passive-aggressive, nasty, critiquing, opinionated, argumentative, whatever it is. Of course, you're not going to like it. Resentment kicks in when you're saying, I should not be treated like this. Okay? Our Lord had some good words about that. He essentially said in so many words, just let it go. Let it go. Don't dwell on it. You cannot be reduced in value by anything anybody says or does. You can't. Only if you take it that way. If someone treats you wrongly, offensively, over 10 years, 15 years, oh boy, you could have a nice reservoir of resentments there. But all it does is eat you up inside. You have to decide to yourself, I am not going to give that person the kind of power to ruin my day, to make me feel bad for the week, to make me cry myself to sleep. I'm not going to do that because I'm handing them that kind of power. I can't control what they do. I can't control what they say. So, Christina, that's let me put it to you this way. I do a lot of marriage counseling. I got the tick to show for it. And people come into my office, they're just loaded with resentment, just loaded. And one of the reasons is underlying their feelings of resentment is I shouldn't have to be treated this way. Well, you're right. In an ideal world, an ideal marriage, you shouldn't. Unfortunately, you are. And you have to decide how much you're going to let it absolutely control your emotions.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you, dear.
Thank you, Christine. Dr. Ray, I believe it was in this book that I read, but I can't remember. I may have heard you say this, but there's kind of – are there two types of anger, that kind of slow smoldering and then the one that's kind of – all of a sudden.
Explosive.
Yeah, explosive. Is that am I remembering that right?
You are. You actually read that book?
Well, every now and then I do read a book. It doesn't happen often, but
okay. You know what, Si? I'll bet your wife handed it to you and said, "Here, read this book. You need this."
There's been a lot of those, actually. I have a whole shelf of those.
Stack on your dresser, yeah.
Yeah. And they have helped, actually. To tell you the truth, I mean, she's not wrong. They're very helpful. But she wasn't perfect herself, but the thing is, I don't think many people, we certainly weren't good at marriage when we started, but we've gotten better. And I kind of feel like that's the point in some ways.
The smoldering anger is a little bit related to our previous caller, which is that ongoing kind of, this person is a thorn in my side, this person hurts me, this person doesn't value me, this person degrades me, this person is always right, I'm always wrong. So that just is a smoldering sort of, as our previous caller labeled it, resentment. The explosive stuff, when you just lose it, you lose a grip, you start throwing things or you start cursing or you punch something or you yell and rage. Much of the time that happens, if there's a simple rule that it's simple, but it's not easy, Si. If I could go back and stop myself in the first 20 seconds of my most powerful anger surge because somebody acted in a way that just ticked me off, if I could for 20 seconds not have done or said anything, I would imagine that about 80% of my regrets would be gone. I remember in the basketball games, I used to pull myself out because I knew if I stayed in that game for another 20 seconds, I was going to throw an elbow. Mm-hmm. I knew it. So I went time and I pulled myself out, went over to the bench, and within 20, 30, 40 seconds, I'm better as long as I don't dwell on it. As long as I don't sit there and fume and say, I'll tell you what, when I get back in there, he's the first guy I'm going toward.
Yeah, right. 888-318-7884 is the number. I think there's the thing, too, though, about not – I wonder how often you see this about not wanting to let go of the anger because somehow it's – I have a right to it and I'm going to be –
That's right. I deserve it.
I deserve it. Yeah, it's like
– Anybody who would be treated this way would feel the exact same way that I do.
Right.
Yes, that's the mistaken thought there.
Right.
First of all, not everybody would react that way. Secondly, you may have a right to it. If we go out and poll 100 people and 82 of them say, well, Si, you know, if that guy would have did to me what he did to you, 82 of them would have said, boy, I'll tell you what, Si, I think you're pretty controlled because let me tell you what I would have done. All right?
Yeah.
But the problem with that, here's the problem with that. Most people are much, let me use the word brave, bad word though, about what they would do if that would happen to them. But about half of them wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
They talk big. Okay. That's one point. The other point is, as a Christian, you never gauge your right to be angry or hostile or punitive or nasty or vengeful on the basis of poll numbers. We as Christians can't do that.
Yeah.
We're asked to act radically different. So I don't care if, okay, let me give you a small example on this. A woman comes into my office, just found out her husband's had a 3-year adulterous relationship. She's devastated. She's broken. And in her hurt, she has told a number of people about this. What do you think pretty much every one of them tells her?
Oh, I imagine they told her, you need to get away from him. You need to divorce him. He doesn't deserve you, that kind of thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There is no way I'd put up with that.
Yeah, right.
If I found out my husband did something like that, he's gone. She comes into my office, and she says, it's not that simple. We have children. We've had a history of a pretty good relationship. I'm Catholic. What do I do? I'm responding differently than everybody is telling me to respond. They all think I'm an idiot. But you see, because of her Christian faithfulness, she's going to try to make this work. Judging by the poll numbers, she, at least according to the way people talk, she should just dump him and take him for everything he's got.
But that's not what we're called to as Christians.
No, it isn't. It is not what we're called to.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. We go now to Pam in Toulon, Illinois, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Pam, you are on with Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a son, 26, and he's in the military. And he's been struggling very emotionally with anxiety, anger, panic attacks. And he goes to counseling. They keep giving him more and more drugs. And he wants somebody that can help him. And I don't know where to look.
Let me give you the good news, Pam. You say he's gone to counseling. Most likely he's not gone to counseling. He's probably going to a psychiatrist or an MD. Okay, a counselor would not be able to prescribe drugs, neither would a psychologist. All right, so he's probably not getting a whole lot of counseling. That's the first thing. Second thing, as terrifying as anxiety is, it is the most common symptom out there. And the irony to it, believe it or not, is that it is one of the more simple symptoms to alleviate. It truly is. Here's what's happening to your son, and it's very common with people who have panic attacks. For whatever the reason, his body kicked off an adrenaline surge, and there's many, 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 many causes for something like this. When he had that first panic attack, he wondered, oh my, I'm losing my mind. What is wrong with me? Am I having a heart attack? Should I go to the emergency room? This is awful and terrible. I've got to get out of here. I've got to relieve this feeling. So he did it. Well, then he began to wonder, what was that all about? What is happening to me? Will it happen again? Oh my gosh. And he starts to have what the shrinks call anticipatory anxiety. In other words, he's scared of being scared. What if this happens again? So he needs a counselor or somebody that can explain to him what is going on, why he does not need to be terrified of it. Okay, one of the best lines I've ever heard. Distress is not danger. Okay, the reaction he has in his body that is a panic attack is the exact same reaction as if somebody were pointing a gun at him. It's the same physiological response. The difference is, in a panic attack, there is no danger. Somebody pointing a gun at you, there is, but it's the same response. There's a guy named Dr. David Carbonell, C-A-R-B-O-N-E-L-L. I went to a workshop with him. He is cutting edge on this stuff, okay? He's very good. Look up his stuff. It may be able to help your son.
Thank you, Pam. More of your calls when we come back with Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, this is Carlo Brusord. I've got a challenge for you. It's called the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. And we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchase and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase, going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be a part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 8:11, the Pharisees began to argue with Jesus, seeking a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left, got into the boat, and went off to the other shore. He knew their sincerity and that he had become their enemy because he acted independently of them and opposed much of their behavior. Even today, it is quite possible to appear to subscribe to the teachings of one's religion while all the while seeking to disregard those teachings and favor one's own agenda. The Lord is just as aware of such dishonesty today as he was of that of the Pharisees. Most often such individuals are not. They refuse to look honestly at themselves. The key for us to not fall into such self-deception is to humbly submit to him and the teaching authority of the Church. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi, the doctor, is in today. He's the author of many books, including Fighting Mad, Practical Solutions for Conquering Anger. This hour, we got just a little bit of time left, so I'm going to go quickly to the calls. Ching, listening in Augusta, Maine, you are on with Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Thank you, Ryan.
I have the problem is if my family member or whoever and kind of use the accusing tongue talk to me, then I just, in my chest, I just want to fight back immediately and have, seems like they have the anger to inside. I know it's not cool, and I just like to know if they have a way that you can teach me how to deal with that.
Well, you used the key word there, Ching. You said immediately. I immediately want to fight back. What would happen if you didn't say anything immediately or you didn't argue back immediately? What would happen?
I just feel like something just in my chest. I just don't feel good.
Well, that feeling's going to go away. That feeling isn't going to stay in your chest. It's going to go away. What you're saying is, because I feel that way immediately, I have the impulse. I feel like I'm almost bound to react. You're not bound to react. You may feel like it, but you don't have to. You have a will. You have an intellect. You have God's grace. You do not have to respond like you think you do. You've convinced yourself that because you have that urge, and that urge is very powerful, that you just have to, otherwise your chest will just explode. No, it won't. Try it a few times. It won't.
So, for example, if somebody say something which is not true, then I just like move to the defense mood and.
King, when somebody has said something that's not true and you went on the defensive and you tried to convince them it was not true, did they ever say to you, "Oh, gee, King, I didn't realize that what I said wasn't true.
Thank you for pointing it out to me. Did that ever happen?
Normally, no.
How old are you, dear? How old are you?
I'm old enough.
Okay, so let's say you're 40. 50. Okay, you're 40.
I'm 48.
Now, how many years, okay, my sweetheart, how many years is it going to take for you to realize that when you want to defend yourself and you try to defend yourself, it only makes it worse? You only get madder, and they argue more, and they defend themselves, and they are not convinced that what they said was wrong. Now, I don't know how many years this is going to take. Think about that, dear.
Thanks.
I got something I want to say.
All right.
You know how our Lord says that we have to forgive 70 times 7?
Yes.
He's basically saying what? We got to always forgive, right?
Right.
I think that I don't have to always forgive. I think, as a matter of fact, that much of the time, I don't need to forgive. Now, does that sound heretical?
It's slightly, yes. It sounds like you might be contradicting the Lord.
Let me explain. I've come to realize that much of the time that I think I have been offended, I wasn't.
Yeah.
The person didn't do anything wrong. I imputed a bad motive to them. I interpreted their behavior as hurtful when it really wasn't. So, in fact, when I thought I was being so generous and so magnanimous by forgiving them, actually, I was deluding myself because they didn't do anything wrong. And I've come to believe that's at least half the time for me. I don't know what it is for other people. But I've noticed that much of the time when I get upset at somebody, I've misinterpreted them. And I found out later I misinterpreted them.
Well, now you're messing me up.
Because
I thought I was a super forgiving and good person.
Yeah,
doctor.
That's right, buddy. You better look at how many times you didn't need to forgive because there was no offense.
All right, we go to Connie in Southern California listening on the Immaculate Heart Radio app. Connie, you are on with Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question to Dr. Ray is that I'm basically a nice person, demeanor when I'm not angry, but I have an explosive type of anger that whatever I have something in my hand, I have the tendency to throw it at that person, or I just want to smack him right there.
Don't have a knife in your hand. Don't ever put a knife in your hand when you're mad, or a hammer.
Yeah. Well, I tried my very best, and then after that anger passes, I felt so bad, and I regretted it. I almost lost my job about this anger. I was sent to an anger manager.
Connie, you pointed out something I said 3 or 4 times in this show, that when you have the initial urge, that's when you're most likely to do something stupid, and then later on you feel guilty and you regret it. Here's what I would say to you. How many times do you think in your life that you have actually gotten so mad that you've thrown something? How many times? 30, 40, 50, 100, 150?
No, just like 3 times.
3 times. Do you go grab something before you throw it? Do you look around for something to throw?
No, I grabbed something. I had something in my hand. I just happened to have something in my hand.
Drop it. You probably throw like a girl anyway, so you're getting yourself in trouble by throwing things. Not good. Now, you've had enough experience with this to realize that when you get really, really angry, you could be dangerous. You can throw something at somebody. So no matter what you do the next time you get that angry, the first thought in your head is don't throw anything. It's like you have a friend standing there beside you, yelling at you, Connie, don't throw anything. That's the thought you've got to have in your head. Because otherwise, if you get mad enough, you have a trip switch, it kicks off, you go chucking something.
Oh, okay.
Connie?
Thank you, Connie. We're short on time, so I'm going to go to Tony in Las Vegas, Nevada. Tony, you are on with Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hello, doctor, and thank you for taking my call. Question really fast here. My father was an alcoholic, and that's how he died, and that's how he, I think, dealt with his emotions. My mother always has been and is it's a very angry person, and comes home and, you know, she leans on a marijuana use. And so in my mind, I have to kind of try to fight off, you know, the responses that she would give, kind of a very critical spirit, very critical. So two things. Number one, how do I come out of that and kind of heal from the results of both of that? And number two, how do I just come home and live a life enjoying my daughter without doing something destructive, like, you know, in my free time? I just don't know what to do. I don't know. I can't.
Tony, are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
Well, then there's nothing your mother can say or do that can reduce your value. Nothing. The God of the universe thinks you are infinitely valuable. So no matter what your mother says or does or had done in the past, that does not reduce your worth. And I don't think you believe that, but that's true. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing, there's a tactic I call close the book, which means this. People like your mother are actually easier to deal with than somebody who is by and large a reasonable person who then insults you. Why? Because you know your mother. You know what she's like. You've had years and years and years and years of experience with her. Nothing she does now should surprise you. The poor soul is tormented, okay? She's got all kinds of pathology, and therefore she tries to cope with life in her way, and she's mean.
I don't know how to relax. Sometimes I deal with workaholism. I kind of, you know, struggle with different things. I just don't know how to sit down and come home and just, what does a normal person do, you know?
Well, Tony, there's not a formula answer to that. Okay, you're asking a very complex life question. And for me to say, well, Tony, here's what you do, right there. Okay, there's your answer. Good. No, I think I would be misleading you. If you're saying this is something that's affecting your life, you go find a good counselor, good Catholic counselor, if you wish, and sort it through and work with them. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you to all of our callers. Thank you, Dr. Ray. If you're interested in finding out more about Dr. Ray Guarendi or getting more resources that are available from Dr. Ray Guarendi, or you want to see all the titles of his books and pick out which ones you're going to buy, drray.com is the place to go. DrRay.com. Dr. Ray Guarendi, the doctor is in. People can find you what time most days across the country?
We are 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific.
DrRay.com is the place to go if you would like more materials. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you so much for being with us here today on Catholic Answers Live.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Tomorrow, open forum on Catholic Answers Live. Bring your questions, any question you've got about the life or faith of the Catholic Church. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It was a joy being with you today. We'll see you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.